It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, 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 we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence. But me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, IA, from the BEA Beautiful Studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. That's where you need to go. Need to go. There's so much stuff that has been going on, and I'm, what? I mean, what do we do? How do you what? You know, it's, what if you absolutely, positively, for sure know what's coming? What if you know? Do you know? Let me tell you what I know. I know that you will not see a decrease in the oppressiveness, tyrannicalness, the in-your-faceness of this government. It's not going to happen. They can't. They don't know anything else. You know, even you have some states are just stopping to pay, stop paying their bills. They're just, you know what? That wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. We're just not going to pay our bills. Okay. You know, if that's what they want to do, you know, that's fine. So I'm going, see what is it? I got to look on Freedom's Phoenix right here. Illinois. Illinois stops paying its bills but can't stop digging hole. You know, does this shock anybody? Chicago. Even by the standards of this deficit-ridden state, Illinois' comptroller, Daniel Hines, faces an ugly balance sheet. Precisely how ugly becomes clear when he beckons you into his office to examine his daily briefing memo. He picks the papers off his desk and points to a figure in red, $5.01 billion. This is what the state owes right now to schools, rehabilitation centers, childcare, the state university, and it's getting worse every single day, he says in his downtown office. Mr. Hines shakes his head. This is not some esoteric budget issue. We are not paying bills for absolutely essential services, he says. That's obscene. But that doesn't stop him from spending it. Doesn't stop them from, you know, increasing budgets. Doesn't stop them from not slashing budgets. You keep hearing about these austerity measures that they're doing in other countries. You know, a lot of states in the United States have a larger economy than, heck, most countries on the planet. America, at least used to be, a very wealthy country. States. California is the sixth largest economy in the nation, on the planet. So, you know, what do they do? Oh, we're really going to have to something. What does Arnold Schwarzenegger do? He increased pay rate. They have to have at least a federal minimum wage stat. They didn't do a budget, so we're going to have to pay him at least the minimum wage for federal whatever the heck it was. You know, so I think a lot of people got a raise. Okay. So where does this end? It ends with you not being able to, avoid increases in taxes. They are going to, you know, they're saying austerity measures. Let me tell you what austerity measures mean. You know, they say austerity. I had to come up with a word. I mean, I don't know what other word they'd come up with, but, you know, austerity. All right. So what does that mean? That means we're going to have to not increase certain things or, oh, my goodness, even cut. And increase taxes. Don't ever think that the increased taxes part is not going to be part of something. Increase in taxes. Where does that go? Economic activity continues to reduce. Unemployment will continue to rise. We are in a depression, the greatest depression. How many, you know, raise a hand in the audience, raise your hand. You know, how many of you thought that, you know, we're on the way back up? Well, they said so. Fox News gave bullet points. They said it every day. Got good looking, you know, babes up there, you know, Fox babes saying, you know, hey, I'm thinking that, yeah, we're out of the doldrums here. We're going on the way back up. Yeehaw! Oh, time to buy back in. Get that house. No. Housing is going to go down at least another 15-20%. How many times have I said on the show, I go, mark it down, put it on your calendar. You know, I used to do that when I first started doing my radio show. I would have, because you'd have, I found that you could do on your Outlook or something like that, your email, they have calendars in there, and you can put a date in there, and it just says, you know, it prompts you, you know, it could be years in advance. You know, it could be, you know, it's like every year somebody's birthday will come up. You know, you have anniversaries and all kinds of stuff like that. So, that's right. I got to remember my parents' anniversary is coming up. 50th anniversary. 50th anniversary, my parents. Cool. So, congratulations to them. But anyway, so you put that in there and you go, 10 years ago on their 40th anniversary. And you put 50 near, dings, ding. 50, ooh, thanks for reminding me. I would have the audience, I go, make sure you put this in here. Ernie said, what is today? July 5th, day after Independence Day. July 5th, 2010. Put in there, within a year, housing prices here in Phoenix will go down another 15%, at least. Will I be right? You were wrong. It was 13.8. But, you know, I'm going, look, man, this is not, you know, it's baked into the cake. It's already done. The one thing that has given me a lot of optimism is how many people know it and that they're doing the right thing in preparation for it. This economy is done, over. The dollar, done. You know, one thing that's interesting, though, you'll look at the 30-year Treasury. You know, this is the, you know, loaning money to the United States federal government. And the Japanese government, they're at 1-point-something%. Think about this. I want to put my money somewhere that I know I can at least get it back. You know, it's secure, it's safe, it's worth something, okay? It's not going to be zero. It's going to, you know, we'll do like, gold's kind of messy, and I got to actually touch it and feel it and put it somewhere. And silver, same thing, even more so. I don't want to do that. And I'm a big, giant fund manager. I'm a pension, whatever, and somebody's going to get me in trouble if I don't, you know, put it somewhere. So they liquidate from all the stocks. They're going to crap. They're starting to plummet. And then get out. The stranger's in the house. Get out of the house. So they get all their money, and they got to put it somewhere. They can't just sit on it, you know, which would be the best thing. Yeah, it's in a bank. I got cash. I'll wait for things to go down and find good opportunities, and I'll buy stuff then. No. You know, the way the taxes are, the way the mindset is of people in the industry, you have to have it working. You have to have do so. You got to get something out of it. So the Japanese yen, they're going to, you know, we're going to go and loan money to the Japanese at 1-point-whatever% interest. Who the heck would do that? Why? Now you sit there and you're just, who would put in, you know, for long-term risk? I guess they figure that, you know, they're getting something. I mean, you know, and the pinky swear they're going to pay them back, I guess, you know, with inflated whatever. But, Neil, same thing's going on with the U.S. Now, we've been talking about this before. I can click on it now. Let's click on it now. 30-year Treasury. It was up almost 5. It's now down to 3.94% that they're paying. It's plummeting. And it goes down because, you know, people are loaning money to the United States Treasury, to the government. Pinky swear we can make the taxpayers pay us back. They're giving it to them. But the interest rate is so low, you have to ask yourself, why would people take on a 30-year risk, the United States government, they're going to give them the money and only get half of what inflation is back? They're losing money. By just putting it away, they're losing money. The longer they have it there, the more money they are losing. So I'm going, okay. Why would they do that? Because it's perceived safety. It's perceived that the United States dollar, of amongst all the other currencies, that it still is relatively in, you know, relation to the other places, other than just going and getting gold, which is what they should do. They are just like, you know, okay, over here. Because all the other currencies and all the other investments and all the other stock markets suck so much. As bad as the United States dollar is, as bad as U.S. government is, as bad as our budget is, as bad as it is, it's better than the rest of the world. Yay! Wow, if this isn't a guaranteed recipe for disaster, it is going, interest rates are going to go up. So as much as I'm screaming against my son and daughter-in-law for not buying a house now, I know that they're probably getting an interest rate in the 5-something percent now. It's probably half of what it's going to be a year from now. So where's the balance? What if you had cash, though? Yeah, you'd be sitting pretty then, wouldn't you? We'll talk about more when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Oh, you know he's coming, don't you? Yeah, I do. It's, you know, we got a plan. I mean, what do you think about it? You know, you're not allowed to complain. That's one thing that at Freedom's Phoenix, we want it. I just want to know, you know, FYI for everybody, are we allowed to even complain? No, you're not allowed to complain this way. You're not allowed to complain on this media. You're not allowed to complain without a government permission slip, license, regulation on this method. You're not, you see my point? They're going to be doing it with the internet. They already started. You got to get a government token to start accessing the internet. You can't, you know, you got to have social security numbers, you know, before you can get a cell phone. You got to. Man, we used to make fun of this stuff when I was in high school about the Soviet Union. This is stuff that they would tell us, America. America's great because we don't do blah, 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 blah. You know that blah, blah, blah they were talking about? You know, all the Soviet Eastern Bloc and all the stuff and the repressions and the surveillance and the wiretaps and the files they had on everybody. They're doing all of it right now here. And I'm supposed to what? Oh, but it doesn't matter. It's not that big a deal now because it's America that's doing it. Then it's okay. Really? 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 So what do? You know, do you get mad and violent? No, you get mad. I mean, I'm relatively perturbed. But you don't act out violently. That's what they want. That's what they need. It's almost like they're prodding you. You know, finally, it's more, sometimes you just get the old Gandhi thing. It's not that he was, you know, such a pacifist. He was like, yeah, when the time comes, you know, yeah, you know, the darkest day was when the British Empire deprived us of arms. He was not about, you know, being totally, you never act out. He was using passive resistance as a tactic. He understood the power of it. You'll sit there and let them just beat your head in, you know, unless it served your purpose. So that's me, man. I'm not instigating nothing. I'm over here. I'm like, no, y'all doing a fine job all on your own, making sure everybody knows how much you messed up. All right. Well, you know, today we're going to take some calls. Here we go. 866-986-6397. 866-986-6397. I'm going to pimp for some calls today. 866-986-6397. 866-986-6397. That's 866-986-NEWS. Okay? All right. I said it enough times. Jeff from Chelsea, Massachusetts. Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, yes. Now, as far as government is concerned, how you solve the problem of excessive government is poor sense. And you were talking about public schools a segment or two ago. And you know what? I'd like to add to that. The public school system is the biggest boondoggle out there. The best thing that the parents could do is pull their kids out of the public school and put them in private schools or homeschool them, and have the government at the very least give the parents vouchers to do that. And it doesn't matter what private school, whether it's a Catholic school or a Christian school or a yeshiva or just a plain secular private school. But it's private, which means private means more efficiency, generally speaking. And also, I thought about this while I was online, Social Security. I mean, if people were able to invest the money where they wanted to invest it, things would be a heck of a lot better.
You know, have you noticed that things that we would consider extremely important, like educating our children,
yes,
and planning for our retirement, because they're so important, the government claims jurisdiction over them. You know, you want to control something, fund it. You know, we were talking about that in the morning show today. You know, this clean election stuff, funding of campaigns. You want to control dissent? Well, you make the government the only special interest. You know, this is, you know, we pulled our children. I'll tell you this story, Jeff.
Yeah.
We pulled our children out of school when I have four children. They're 20 to 24. So we had two boys, two girls, you know, real close to each other.
Yeah.
And we pulled them out when my oldest was in third or fourth grade. And I just, you know, it was so bad that I go, and they go, what are you going to do? Where are you going? Because we're poor. I mean, dirt poor. Poor, 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 poor. And they go, what are you going to do? Anything else. There is nothing that we could do could possibly be more damaging than this. And for a year, we homeschooled as best my wife could. And then eventually went into private school for sixth grade through senior in high school. And it was the best thing we ever did. We lived very modestly to do everything we could to afford to do this. With four kids in private school, they had different programs that we qualified for, private programs that we submitted grants for and did all kinds of extra work. And we advocated for different things and, you know, libertarians at doing whatever and so on. And we got our kids through private school because I knew the worst thing you could do was subject them to this mind mushing that they did in the public school system. So,
right.
But it happens in private school too. I mean, the private school, I'll tell you one thing that I had to constantly combat was their MK attitude. America, you got to go, yeah, we got to go serve military. We got military war, war, war. And I'm going, no, 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 no.
You're right.
So I'm, you're constantly bombarded. And so what will they do? Retirement? Oh yeah, they're going to take your money. We're going to take your money. Pinky swear. Health. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we care about your health. You know, the government cares about your teeth, so they fluoride. They fluoridate the water because we love your teeth so much. You know, I'm like, since when do they give a crap about my teeth? Then you have, you know, your health care. They're going to take care of that for me because they love me. Then they're going to do, you know, my retirement because they love me. You know, what else they love me for? You know, the water. You know, you got to have the government in charge of the water. Why? Because it's so important. You can't let, like, private people do that because it's important. We're going to have the government do it. And every single one of these things that they take over, we get screwed on. How old are you, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm 39 years old.
So, I mean, you've been around long enough to kind of see the cycle, right?
Oh, yes. And you know what else, too? You know what government reminds me of? It's like the mafia. The mafia basically says, we want in on this racket. If we don't get in on this racket, we break your knees, put the cement boots on you, and throw you over the bridge.
I came to that realization very early on. In the early 90s, I'm going, oh, I get it. Government is nothing but a gang with a flag.
Exactly.
And they got all this shiny badge, uniform, hat, and gun thing going on for them, you know? And it's parchment and raised seals and signatures on clipboards. And they show up at your front door and saying, look at all the accoutrement that we got to say that we have the justification to take your children and go and fight in wars around the country, around the world.
You're right about that. I mean, you got to come up to Massachusetts sometime. If you want to see a picture of Marxism And the way the hackerama really works, I mean, Massachusetts, New York, Chicago, that's where the rest of this country is heading toward.
You know, we see here in Arizona, there is an enormous number of people that have left Massachusetts to move to Arizona. I mean, it is, you know, it's like freaking little Boston here, you know. So the reason is because Arizona is perceived as being one. You don't have to shovel snow. That's a benefit. And the other thing is they're just trying to get away from government. But we found this out in the mid-90s when they first started using internet. We first got our first email accounts, and we get on these different lists and so on for activists. And I'll tell you, we found out that they were coming at us from all directions the same way everywhere at the same time. That's the first time we realized what was going on. This is not just in Massachusetts; it's everywhere.
Yeah, but I think it's different scales. I mean,
yeah, oh yeah, no, I'll give you that, brother. You're screwed more than I am, but we're trying to catch up.
Well, that's it. You're absolutely right on that one. You catch up is the word for it. Well, I thank you for having me on the broadcast, and do have a good night.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. You know, that's another thing. You know, a lot of people don't know here in Arizona, our per capita debt in the state government is the greatest in the nation, more than California. Per capita, we're screwed more than you. Yay, we don't win.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to look and you see what's what. It's all, you know, it's happening right in front of us, and it's happening quickly. You know, a lot of times you'll hear me say, you know, something like, it won't happen all at once. I mean, you'll see it coming. You know, it's all around you. It's, you got all the news telling you what's what. It won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. All of a sudden, it's just, you wake up in the morning and the Dow went from, you know, 10,000 something down to 97 something. And you go, what happened? Well, how did that affect my, you know? And a lot of people that stayed in, oh, it'll turn around. Keep your money in. It's down to 6,000 something. Just hold off. Your pension will go. And then you go, I need something. Well, there just went, you know, heck, 10 years of retirement that I thought I was going to have. Now I got to keep working. I'd speak at these tea parties where the average age is in the 60s and 70s. And I'll go, look, I don't even need to see a raise of hands. I know most of you lost half of your retirement. I already know this because I know most of you went in the government socially and economically engineered programs, de la buckets of money that they said, thanks for accumulating it for us. It's ours now. What, you think I don't know this? I know this. I know. Somebody want to come? Go ahead. Somebody complain. You know, somebody say I'm wrong. Which one of you guys want to tell me I'm wrong and see what everybody else has to say? I mean, go ahead. Yeah, I know. You know, this is happening all over. An entire generation got ripped off. At the same time, when in 1996, 98 and 2000, I ran for Congress. That was the time that they were screaming about, oh, we're gonna create a trust fund for your Social Security. And they would actually do town hall meetings, and they had PowerPoint presentations that they would go up, and they would be in an auditorium at a school or something. And these guys would get up, and they would say, congressmen would come around to their hometown, and they would say, look, now see, here we have where you have your monies in Social Security. Now, we don't want to do that. And of course, this is when Clinton's in office in 98, 2000, around in there. And they're going, you know, look at this. Now, we wouldn't do that. You know, look at what they did. You put over here, they already spent it. The general fund, you know, them dang Democrats. They're bad, evil people. You know what the Republicans were going to do? We're going to take your money, and we're going to put it in this pinky swear trust fund. And they actually have an icon of a little safe up there. Now, it's going to have your name on it. And you ever get these things in the mail? And they said, oh, you have contributed this amount, and this is how much. And you get, you know, it's all a game. It's gone. I don't care what you call it. I don't care what icon you put up. I don't care. I go, seriously? So, you know, we get up and the libertarians run for office. We're going, how many people really believe what they just said? Seriously. I mean, you think they're not going to touch it? They're going to take it, you know, and call it something else. It'll be a different kind of fun. It'll be a different kind of pinky swear. You know, and seriously, do you really think that? Do you? You know, is this just, is it a club you want to, you know, be the, you're just going to provide the perfect cheer for them? Let's give them the perfect, I know what they're missing, the perfect cheer. And what happens when you're not cheering? What happens when you're complaining? The transfer, this is from Prison Planet. The Transportation Security Administration will block all websites that contain controversial opinion from its federal computers in the latest example of how internet censorship is expanding in both the private and public sector as the federal government prepares to push through a power grab that will empower President Obama to shut down the World Wide Web with an emergency decree. The Transportation Security Administration, TSA, is blocking certain websites from the federal agency's computers, including halting access by staffers to any internet pages that contain a controversial opinion, whatever the heck that means, according to an internal email obtained by CBS News. You know, this is, and you expected something else? You know, you think it's not going to include moi? Heck, I'd be disappointed if it did. You know, that's another thing. You know, we had Gary Franchi on earlier. He's on Southern Poverty Law Center. Heck, half the people on that list I know personally, and I can't get on. I'm like, what the heck, man? You know, oh, yeah, that's right. We were going to have Heidi Byrick on again. She's special director of special plans for Southern Poverty Law Center. And it'll be like her third, fourth time we've had her on. But I had to leave early on Wednesday before I go, so we had to reschedule. So we have her on, I think, later this week. And I asked her before, I'm going, how come I can't get on? You know, what up with that? She goes, well, we're not going to put you on her because we know you want to. Oh, it's tomorrow afternoon. And the first hour of the show tomorrow afternoon, Heidi Byrick from Southern Poverty Law Center. tasty. And we're going to have some fun. Because the very thing that she does is goes out, and it used to be, you know, racial stuff. Well, that's, you know, racism is just, it's just not working out for them anymore. It's like them screaming about global warming. Well, when it's cold, I mean, you know, how do you justify that? When you know, screaming about racism and there's, you know, nobody really feels racism. Certainly the younger generation, go, it's just not even on their plate. You know, the laws aren't really there anymore that they would oppose. There's not big giant, they hate the government more than they do racism. So what'd they do? Heidi did something, and Southern Poverty Law Center did something that I mean, you know, you just got to laugh. What they did is they said, any opposition to the government is racist because the president is black. And I'm going, oh, that's good. They, man, they're really stretching that one. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. And now I go, racist, really? Is that the number one issue in America right now? Is that it? Is that where we're going? So then they'll talk about, no, it'll kind of go to this anti-government thing. Well, to them, how are they able to, you know, their initial function, you know, their initial focus was racism. So the Southern Poverty Law Center. So they go, well, it's because Obama's black. Okay. And then they work with ADL, Anti-Defamation League, you know, the anti-Semitic stuff. They're focusing on that and so on. Well, when you got Israel just being oppressive, you know, to Palestinians or people in the Gaza Strip, all this stuff that's going on, and you're going, okay, well, criticizing that, does that make you anti-Semitic? I mean, seriously, you know, what if from a libertarian standpoint, she and I always go on about this. I just want to know, if I advocate that I want to keep my money and I don't want it to be sent in foreign aid to any country, including Israel, does that make me anti-Semitic? I just need to know. Well, that's what I thought. You know, this is, it's all a game. It's all this mind screwing that they're doing. It's all about getting what's, I call the prevailing opinion. Oh, a friend of mine, man, I should call him, get what the phrase that he used. It was consensus reality. That's what it was. I was trying to remember it yesterday. Consensus reality. Now, think about that. It is real. Because everybody thinks it. The earth is flat because that is what everybody thinks. Consensus is that it's flat. So it's flat. Because that's what everybody thinks. Because it's flat. I say it's flat. You say it's flat. We all, it's consensus. Is this reality? Everybody agree? Done. Consensus reality. It is real because we all say it is. We all believe it. So it is. This is an argument that, you know, goes into the objectivist guys, you know, this Ayn Rand thing. Rand would always say A is A. You know, this is kind of their, you know, beginning of stuff, you know, their number one principle, A is A. No matter what you call it, what you say, you can call it B, you can call it a brown B, a blue B, a black B, but it's A. It is what it is. You can have all the consensus reality you want. You can have everybody say what it is over here, what they think it is, and what it perceived it to be, and whatever. But you know what? It is what it is. A is A. Well, in your opinion. Here we have on the other side, Butler Schaefer, hardcore anarchist. Man, good libertarian guy. You know, from back in the day. He's a constitutional law professor. He's the mentor of Mark Victor, my partner in the Freedom Summit. Oh, yeah, we'll be talking about Freedom Summit a lot as time comes on, too. And what he does is he goes, everything is subjective. You know, you can't, even your perception of whatever it is, it's whatever you say it is because, you know, that's how you perceive it. All right. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. In your opinion. I mean, you can't say anything to him without him saying, in your opinion. So I take all these mental exercises, you know, give them their due. You know, I'm like, okay, I have, you know, interesting conversations with people. But I'll tell you, you know, you have to have confidence in your ability to perceive reality. And one of the things is that I think it was Mark Twain. And he was saying when everybody says something about something, when everybody agrees this to be the truth, you need to start checking. He's going, wait. There's no dissent? Really? Seriously? Well, let's take a look at it a little bit. You know, because it's such a propaganda machine. It's such a mill. You know, here it comes. You know, then we have Wednesday. Yeah, for a couple hours, we're going to have Mark Stevens, Adventures in Legal Land. He was one of the speakers at Pork Fest. So I'm like, Mark, you're looking good, man, hitting the gym. You know, so he's going to come on. That'll be fun. Julian Hecklin. Oh, Sierra got hold of him. Cool. Julian is the guy that's been arrested for passing out Fiji material at the federal court building in Manhattan. He just goes limp. So you check him in the Bellevue. He's crazy. He's all for freedom. He must be crazy.
Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock. Show must go on.
Show must go on. Yeah, it's got to go on. It's all good news, depending on how you look at it. You know, the one thing that you have to understand, and a lot of, you know, like Gary, Franchi, and I, and a lot of the other guys, we've been doing this for most of our adult lives. You know, there was something happened, you know, we got our ox gored, you know, earlier or more than someone else, or we were just more sensitive to what was going on, or we, you know, a sense of injustice or just opportunities present themselves, our personalities are in such a way you have the ability to communicate, and so, you know, whatever reason, you wind up where we are now. And then what do? Everybody has a role to play. You know, one of the things that I found, it never even occurred to me, that was of great interest, and we're going to have them on Friday afternoon, Stephanie and Mike. What they do, they're free staters in New Hampshire. They have a podcast that's broadcast on the afternoon network, Liberty Radio Network, which simulcast this show on Liberty News Radio out of Keene, New Hampshire. And Stephanie and Mike, it was a fascinating interview, and they're beautiful people. They're just really nice people, you know, attractive, young, you know, got an open mind. It was very fun. I'm looking forward to spending more time with them. And their whole idea was this. We're going to give relationship advice from a libertarian perspective. Those that are in the freedom movement, those that have, and it's relationships with a lot of things, like your mother-in-law. So you have your significant other, you know, it could be. I mean, we were having fun with things like, yeah, well, you know, what about my, you know, how do you, you know, juggle three wives and two husbands? You know, and, you know, 47 kids or, and, you know, and that means if you got three wives, then you're like, what does that mean? That means three mothers-in-law. Oh, my goodness. So it's just, you know, this, you know, just having fun with it. You know, relationship. How do you deal with people? You know, how do you, in a society that has an open mind on, you know, relationships can be just about a combination of anything. What is a core that you can have that would give you a good relationship? What are you looking for? What kind of agreement? What kind of consensus? You know, are there certain people you just, you know what? We're not having a relationship. You know, I don't associate with these kinds of people. I don't work for them. I don't. I don't even have these people as clients or customers, or these are the kind of people I do advocate hanging out with. These are the kind of people that I'm looking for. And then do you have things like mixed marriages? And I don't mean mixed in the terms of racial or even gender or any of that stuff. I'm talking about philosophically mixed marriage. You know, think about it. Religion, that's a philosophy. You know, Jewish versus Catholic. You know, Muslim versus Hindu. I mean, can you? You know, does that stop? You know, atheist versus Christian. I mean, you know, how do you reconcile these? What is important? How do you raise children? From a libertarian perspective, if you can have the core base relationship of human being to human being, what place do these kind of factors have in that relationship? What dominates? You know, can you have a lust-filled, passionate relationship with someone for 50 years and you be a dog and they a cat? I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, these are, you know, that was a fascinating topic that I never even thought of, to have relationships from a freedom perspective. I think that, you know, I think I am so entranced with that idea that I think that would be a great podcast to have. We start going, broadcasting out of freedom. We're working on a bunch of stuff for the site and everything. That'd be one that I'd like. I would just take theirs, you know, and take it from, you know, Liberty Radio Network, ask them if we can podcast that, because I think that'd be fascinating. I think it would be very popular. I think they're going to be broadcast on 15 gazillion. Dr. Laura, move your butt over, slacker. You know, I think that is a fascinating topic from a libertarian perspective, from a freedom-oriented perspective. How do you deal in interpersonal relationships? Because our family, our children, our friends that are libertarian, our relationships are much wider, more varied, and deeper. Because, you know, let the cheap crap just go away. You know, you don't worry about the cheap crap. I mean, it's just not, are you advocating initiation of force? Are you advocating hurting people? Are you advocating taking and redistributing? If you're like a libertarian-oriented mindset, then you're just hang out with people that, you know, don't irritate you. You know, I mean, it's like we go on vacation with friends and everything. How long do you think you can take a dose of Ernie? I mean, you know, there's no dead air. Ernie's around. You know, somebody's imparting some information or entertaining me or giving me something that, you know, or I am. You know, that's just the way I am. And it bugs people sometimes. You know, sometimes it's good to be able to go fishing and just sit there and just not talk. You know, I'm good with that too. But I like being coached, you know, if I'm going to learn something. I like being told something. I like information flowing in and out, going both ways. I get that's my entertainment. I love that. You know, I can sit here and yak forever, you know, but the thing is that it's because, you know, I share experiences with you or I need yours. And if you want to do that, it's 866-986-6397. 866-986-6397. 986-NEWS. Now, there's a big thing going on about when people start, you know, sharing their mind and they're in the wrong place at the wrong time and they got the wrong title and the wrong shiny badge. I'll give you an example. Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Steele, whose remarks suggesting the U.S. will lose the war in Afghanistan, have prompted some Republicans to demand his resignation, but he won praise from Representative Ron Paul. Michael Steele should not resign. Make him fire him, I guess, which, you know, makes you wonder what's going on. It makes you wonder why he said, you know, we'll do a story on it. Michael Steele should not resign, Paul, a Texas Republican, former Libertarian Party presidential candidate, said today in a statement. Michael Steele has it right, and Republicans should stick by him. Why would they not say that he was a presidential candidate as a Republican in 08? Was it like a secret or something? This is on Bloomberg by Timothy Homan. Michael Steele should not resign. Paul, a Texas Republican and former Libertarian Party presidential candidate. Texas Republican. Doesn't say he's a congressman. Doesn't say that he was a presidential, you know, had a revolution around him in 08. Wow. All right, see, it's what you don't print. That's how media works. Speaking at a Republican fundraising event in Connecticut on July 1, Steele said the conflict in Afghanistan, quote, was a war of Obama's choosing. Oh, they're going to blame it on the Democrats. Oh, you guys are killing me. And is not something that the United States has actively prosecuted or wanted to engage in. Since then, several prominent conservative leaders have called for his resignation. With nationwide unemployment at 9.5% in June, Republicans are trying to regain control of Congress from Democrats in November's midterm elections. They are contending with intra-party challenges from candidates supported by Tea Party activists who promote limited government. In May, Rand Paul, a Tea Party favorite and son of Ron Paul, won the Republican Senate nomination in Kentucky against a candidate backed by Kentucky's Republican establishment, including U.S. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Now, the guy that Ron Paul beat in the primary was the incumbent Secretary of State in Kentucky. Man, we were expecting all kinds of election fraud and got it for all we know. Or they were afraid that we were going to descend on them. They had all kinds of organizations ready for that one. They're going, oh, man, this is going to be a neon flashing example of. Let's see. You know, Liz Cheney disappointed. I don't know why she's disappointed. Republican Liz Cheney, daughter of former Republican Vice President Dick Cheney and head of a group called Keep America Safe, said in a statement yesterday that Steele's Afghanistan comments were deeply disappointing and wrong, and that it is time for Chairman Steele to step down. The U.S. will reassess its Afghanistan strategy in December and is trying to train enough Afghan soldiers and police to allow a withdrawal of U.S. troops there beginning in July 2011. You know, blah, 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 blah. Blah. I mean, they're not, you know, how many YouTubes have we seen from actual soldiers? You know, some of the best ones, they go like this. You'll have a young soldier, he's in his 20s, he's trained to train special forces, or he's trained to train other people to be soldiers and or policemen, and he can't, he's there, and he got like, you know, little roads, and they'll have mud brick walls kind of going like a little village, or it's just a couple of houses out in the Lone Prairie or something they kind of use as a base under some trees. And he's like, you know, and he's talking to the video camera, his friend's doing, he's going, where are they? Let me show you where they are. And he goes around some little wall and he sees them, they're over there smoking hash. They're all just being, yeah, you know what up, you know, we don't care. What? And they find out the people that they send them from these little villages, they go on, we need young men to come and we're going to whatever and make you a nation. Well, Afghanistan isn't done that way. We had Scott Horton on. Scott Horton does antiwar.com, antiwar.com/radio. He does the radio program for antiwar.com. And he's talking, and we were talking back and forth, and the consensus is that, you know, Afghanistan is not a country. It's just a group of a whole bunch of different tribes and ethnicities that the British and French empires just carved up lines on a map and said, look, this is Afghanistan. And all these people, these groups, these organizations, I mean, these villages, they just send their ne'er-do-wells, the guys that are addicted to drugs, the guys that are mean and cruel, or they weren't raised right, or something, and they just, you know, here, yeah, you want some young men? Here, take these two. They are a pain in our butt for freaking 10 years. They're yours. Do what you want. And what do? Yeah, man, we're here. Oh, you gonna feed me? Cool. And then they go out around the wall and smoke up. These are the people they're going to want to turn over Afghanistan to. How's that going to work out? I don't know. We just need to leave. We just marched in, as Dr. Paul says. We can just march out because it's going to happen anyway.